Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to mainly talk about the possibility of minor league baseball in Spotsylvania this morning. Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross from the Cortland District in with us. Supervisor Ross, good to have you here. Good morning.
It's good to be here again, Ted. Good morning to you too.
It's been more than just a few months since you've been in, so it is good to have you back. You have said and made your stance real clear from the start that you didn't think that the baseball is a good deal for Spotsylvania.
That's true, and it's a different kind of incentive that is proposed for Spotsylvania to provide. Instead of, like, for instance, the racetrack, where in working with bringing a racetrack here, we changed a noise ordinance and are moving forward some highway work that's going to benefit everybody. This is more of a partnership, at the complete cost of $50 million. And again, things are changing. I know that the baseball committee is meeting. So when I refer to things, I'm referring back to the old lease, which there has not become a new lease yet. But a $50 million partnership for a baseball stadium that would be owned by the county and a parking garage that would be owned by the county and $42 million of bonds that would be let by the county. So I see that as outside the scope of really what your local government should be doing. When we struggle to fund schools, fire, which we have, and we've increased teachers, we've increased pay, we've increased firefighters, but we're still struggling to do that and balancing out priorities to actually redline our debt capacity with a $42 million bond on a baseball partnership, I think, is outside the scope of government.
There was a story this week that even the cost of the stadium and the cost to the county was even going to be more than we have been talking about.
Well, that's very true. So there's a couple costs, and one is – obviously, the debt payments on the stadium, and I believe I've got that. The total of that is $71.7 million when you do the principal and interest, and that would be, again, for the stadium and the parking garage. There's also the cost of providing, and this is, again, the lease that was on the table before, which could change, a fire truck to every game that has fireworks, an ambulance to every game, regardless, two sheriff's vehicles. And over the course of 30 years, county staff has that cost at $41.7 million. So that runs the total to the county of $113.4 million in that partnership.
Supporters will say that and have said through this debate that a couple of things. The first thing is that area, it'll spur growth in that area.
Well,
I guess the area we're talking about, too, is right now the only – there's a couple of sites, but the main site over by CarMax.
It is, right by CarMax on mile marker 126 on I-95. My response to that – and let me be clear. I love baseball. I would love baseball to come here. If we could get investors to invest in baseball, I would love a stadium to be built in Spotsylvania County. That might not be the perfect place because of traffic. However, it has been said that, you know, people could have high visibility of it there and it would be known. Now, as far as spurring economic development, by the numbers generated by Davenport, which I believe got them from the property owner, and then as it's zoned in 2014 as mixed use, we had a net present value calculation done on that. So all it really does is it increases the time or decreases the time. Instead of 15 years to develop out that same property, which is on the books right now, forecast to be developed by 15 years from now as mixed use, it accelerates it to 3 to 5 years. Now, for the county, because the county would own the stadium and own the parking lot, there's not taxable revenue that would come in because the county owns that from those two large pieces of land. So a net present value was done. As is, it was $36 million in the positive for the county, but building out the stadium so you lose that taxable revenue and all the economic development that's forecast to happen around there still brings that net present value and the cost of the county to a negative $26 million. It's like a $63 million delta.
Can the county handle the kind of debt we're talking about?
It can. But here's the issue. So at the 5 May meeting, 2015, mm-hmm. Davenport briefed our debt capacity. And the county has the debt capacity to issue these $42 million of bonds. And if we have time, let's talk about the EDA's, the Economic Development Authority's function in this, because I was surprised to hear you don't even have to have a public hearing if the EDA is issuing the bonds. But
go ahead. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, sure. But and then I can go back to that question.
Okay. Well, we can go back. Let's talk about the question. Let's take the EDA out of it then, and just go back to the question. And the question was, can the county handle the debt?
Sure.
The debt capacity. Yep.
I need more coffee this morning, Ted. Sorry.
So live radio.
It can. So what happened then is they did say yes, you can handle it.
Okay.
But it redlines your capacity. So there's, in other words, if we have something else that we need to be built,
you can't do it.
We can't do it.
What the city has run into with the courthouse.
It's exactly the same thing. So it would what I call redline it. It takes it up the red line. There's nothing more we can give. So do we really want to have no contingency if we need to build something or have an expense that happens to come up that we're not aware of that we can't? And I say at the national level, our debt is too high. Mm-hmm. And clearly, that's not what I would call fiscally responsibility of myself if I were to say, yes, let's take us right up to the limit where something else comes up, and then we're really, you know, you've got no choice then except to really increase taxes. And maybe the economy is going to be in a place at that time that you can't increase taxes.
Some have pointed to Bowie, Maryland has been talked about. Mm-hmm. Bowie and I know myself, I've seen it going over to see in southern Maryland, the Blue Crabs in Waldorf. A lot of that particular stadium has a lot of development, has sprung up around it.
That's very true. And that is something that came up at the 5 May meeting. And I actually think that maybe some of that's contributed to the baseball stadium, and indeed, in our own numbers, we're contributing some development around that proposed stadium because of the stadium. But one point I brought up is we've seen a lot of development happen at 610 and Garrisonville Road over the past 15 years. I initially, when I moved to Virginia, lived off of Garrison mm-hmm. Road. All those same companies, Ruby Tuesdays, Applebee's, are all up on Garrisonville Road. We've got the Quantico Corporate Center and defense contractors that are up there, and there's no baseball stadium. So to have what I pointed out at that meeting is the correlation. You can't really contribute exact numbers to the Bowie, Maryland stadium as you could to any stadium, but it does look good, but factually and scientifically or any other thing, what caused the growth? I don't think it was all the stadium.
I know you and several other supervisors who have been the no votes throughout this have said that the supporters and said in even minor league baseball the league has said that what they're offering Spotsylvania is unprecedented, and you all have said it might be unprecedented, but it's still not enough.
Well, it's not even close. I think it goes back to that net present value figure. You know, I've got a $63 million delta. Now, that very well could be true, but, you know, I've never gone shopping for a Ferrari either. And I got a feeling if I go into the Ferrari dealership and say, hey, can I get this at invoice cost? They might be, oh, no way, you're going to pay a markup. Or I go in for the 50-year Mustang to get that the special limited edition, there's a markup on. I actually know because I'm looking, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to.
But you want to look.
When I went and looked, and you know, when I saw the MSRP, and then there's another $5,000 markup, I'm like, what? I've never seen that in a car. So I guess it's a different market. It's something that, you know, as Spotsylvania County is not used to seeing that. And is that a good thing or bad thing? I think the bottom line is it's taxpayer money, not any of the supervisors' money, and we need to be fiscally responsible with it.
Has this been handled in the right way? Because I know there was a lot of discussions behind it, and that happens a lot with economic development mm-hmm. projects, and then it comes up and the public is told. Have you been happy with the way it's been presented?
So initially, I would say no, and this is a great question. When the information first came out, I had before the 5 May meeting, I think I had 2 weeks to look at everything that had been done by, at one of the meetings, I said, Mr. Skinner, who is we? Because you keep referring to we. And I know it's not me. And he said, Mr. Jakubowski and himself. So all the supervisors, not only the public, but I had 2 weeks to look at it. I believe the public had 1 week to look at it. So I would say initially, no, this wasn't handled well. But since that time, I would say, yes, it has. Now, I'm not sure if we should stream our baseball committee meetings because it's kind of giving our position away. Because I'm sure if I were the owner of the Hagerstown Suns, I'd be watching those streaming meetings and seeing exactly what we're thinking about down here. But other than that, I think it's all good.
I'm glad you mentioned that because in watching last week's, I had the same thought. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is fascinating to watch, and I'm sure this is in some ways what an executive session is like when you go mm-hmm. behind closed doors. But at the other end, you know that somebody from the team is either recording it or taking notes, and it's all out there. And I thought, I'm not sure how you negotiate when you put something together like this.
I'm not sure either. And again, that goes back to the timeline. I still am very leery. We had that 31 May timeline, and now we're at a July 31st timeline. The baseball committee did not come up kind of with a plan of action. I'm a program manager in my daytime job, setting out a schedule of what we need, when we need it by, to hit that 31 July timeline. So I'm very leery that we're going to be able to get everything in order by then.
Government just doesn't move that fast, and some of it is just the way government works, of where you have to there are certain rules you have to abide by.
Well, that goes back to the EDA thing where we were discussing. So I was really surprised that the EDA can let those bonds, if with supervisor approval, for that much money, and that would allow it to go fast, along with, you know, I was thinking at the original lease had us breaking ground, I think, by the 1st of July.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was less than 60 days. I'm like, how can we do this? And the EDA comes back. The EDA attorney says, well, we can sole source, so we don't have to even put out a competition for building a $33 million stadium. We can just do that. And, oh, by the way, the Suns have somebody in mind to build it already. So, you know, I
had never heard of that before either, with any kind of local government.
I hadn't either. And why they have why the Economic Development Authority, because they're a separate entity, but yet they're appointed by each supervisor, has that kind of special authority is, I'd like to talk to Mark Cole. I already have, like, hey, we got that. This could be dangerous, Mark, depending on the situation.
Supervisor David Ross from the Cortland District in Spotsylvania is here. We're talking baseball this morning. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross with us this morning. We're starting off talking with the big issue in Spotsylvania now is baseball. Have you heard from a lot of Cortland District residents on this?
I have. Amazingly, I have heard from a lot. I would put the numbers in close to 100. And so far, I've had one person that supported baseball out of all those. And after I explained the financial part of it, then that person seemed to become neutral.
Interesting that you would hear, because to a lot of people it would be, well, that's not many. But on most of these issues, and even some of the issues that a lot of us who follow county government think, oh, this is such a big issue, most people don't weigh in.
They normally don't. And that is, I've had issues with cell towers before that have ranged in the hundreds. But this is, I think a lot of people are becoming aware of the issuing of $42 million of bonds and what that potential risk is to the county and to the taxpayer. As I said before, I will fully support doing tax incentives on the back end, because that puts all the risk on the new person coming in. For instance, we've got some good company. We got the racetrack coming. We've got the German grocery store coming. We've got a lot of things that have not happened for decades around here in excitement. So the difference in the back end is, and for instance, say if a company comes and they're going to be paying $1 million of tax revenue to Spotsylvania County, of which currently we're getting zero. It might make sense to say, you know, instead of $1 million, we'll give you a break of $250,000 a year, where you're only going to be paying $750,000 as incentive to bring you to here. All that risk goes to the person coming here, because if they don't generate the $1 million of tax revenue, then they don't get the $250,000 off. Unlike baseball, where we're putting that money up front, and then if something bad happens, and even right now, the numbers don't even say that we're going to, it's going to pay for itself. It's not. At least that's what the numbers that staff has provided me say. That means that they have to come up two ways, cutting back on resources we already have, cutting back on teachers, fire, EMS, or other things, or raising taxes. And, you know, I'm not saying the sky is falling, but we've seen Greece and the worldwide market is still out there. Are they going to get their debt resolved? Is the European Union? And if they fail on that debt, that could cause, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal occasionally, could cause a world economic decline again, you know, another recession. And is this a time we want to push our debt ceiling up to that and have potentially a recession again? And I'm not saying that that's going to happen. It's just something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. How do you respond to others that say this would be something unique for the area? This will be something that sets Spotsylvania apart.
Look, I would love it to be here. I would love baseball. It would be unique to Spotsylvania. You know, I've only been to one, I think they were the Potomac Cannons game. And we do have the Washington Nationals. It's not far away. But it would be wonderful to have this venue to go to. But I would, on the other side of it, I would say, but is this a role of your government? Is this a scope and something that you want the government to do? And not only that, is it fair to, say, the racetrack owner who didn't get $42 million of upfront money from the county, and now he's competing with the government, really, because the government's going to own the stadium, on entertainment dollars in this area? Or is it fair for the bowling alleys or the movie theaters? Because now, instead of going to a movie, I'm going to take my family to a baseball game. And that's good for me as a person, and it's good for the county. But is it fair when you've got one that's being subsidized by $42 million and one that's not? And so I would love baseball to be here, but the fairness of it, what it hurts are other people that have businesses in the county, because it would. Now, it would help other businesses. Potentially somebody comes to a game and they go to eat afterwards. Now, I've talked to Paul Trampy, who knows a lot about baseball. He says that doesn't happen. Mostly people will eat at the game, mm-hmm. and then they'll go home, or they'll not, you know, they'll go somewhere else, not close to the area. But, you know, I'm not going to debate whether that's true or not. There would be some economic growth, but I don't see a fairness in it when you've got one that's government. And we all know how efficient government is, too, right?
So, of course.
So one government subsidized, one not, but competing with each other.
You have questioned in some of the meetings also of instead of the county being involved, why doesn't the team get more investors?
Exactly. And, you know, I think – and I'm not an expert in investing or finance. But what I would say is, I did, after our 5 May meeting, I did talk to the owner and I said, what if we gave you an incredible back end tax incentive, like no taxes at all that the team would have to pay for 10 years or whatnot, if you find investors to build the stadium? And he said they've done that. I think they might have done it with the city of Fredericksburg. And the most the bank would give them more would be $10 million. And so that $10 million is a far cry from the money they would need to do that. I also asked staff to reach out to our local big developers and ask them if they'd be interested. And I've reached out to one, and there's no interest in them building the stadium and working with the team to negotiate the lease. So my assumption would be it's just not a good business deal. And that's why private enterprise doesn't finance baseball stadiums for the most part.
I've also wondered, because how Spotsylvania kind of got into this was the county, or I guess the EDA, had been in discussions with the city and had been talking about this. If any of the other area localities would be interested in getting involved and making this kind of a regional thing.
You know, that would be an option. I know that some supervisors have asked the city. I think they've been through the ringer on this, and they don't have the support to partner with, say, Spotsylvania to make it more of a doable deal. There's no interest up in Stafford County for doing that. And I, for one, can say initially how this came to us was the city of Fredericksburg informally reached out to Spotsylvania County to see if we would fund the stadium to do the bond for the debt capacity mm-hmm. that the city didn't have, that Spotsylvania does have, although, again, it redlines us. And as a supervisor getting asked that question, like, you represent people in Spotsylvania County. Do I want to put our taxpayers on risk to have a stadium in Fredericksburg? No, not really. And so I think that's kind of where that partnership ends.
Does it give you any pause to see that Richmond has not been able to work out a stadium deal with the Squirrels, and the Squirrels are now saying this isn't acceptable. You watch something like that, of where they have struggled for years in Richmond to try to get either the city of Richmond or some of Chesterfield and Henrico involved, and that hasn't worked either.
It definitely gives me some pause. And again, I think there's two hurdles you go over. One is, should the government do this in the first place, which my answer is no. And second, if it does, then we address these concerns. And that's a huge concern. And maybe what's happening, because we've seen the Richmond Squirrels and we know about the Hagerstown Suns, and maybe it's time that Ferrari dealership I was talking about earlier says, you know, we got to take our markup off. You know, we've got to sell this at invoice today. Times have changed, and, you know, money is tight. Money is still tight. And unless you have a local government that's willing to just say, okay, hey, let's give a 20-cent tax increase on the residential personal property tax to fund this thing and get it paid off, which you don't have right now in Spotsylvania County. You have a fairly fiscally conservative board. It's time to renegotiate the deal.
Well, and that is interesting when you talk about times have changed because the economy and the world situation definitely has changed and is changing.
It is. And the other thing we see in America is our debt keeps going up. So there's got to be a breaking point. I don't know where it is. Maybe it's 10 years from now. Maybe it's 20 years from now. I just saw a thing from Congressman Bratt that said, don't quote me on the numbers, but it was 15 to 20 years from now, every kind of revenue, unless it's increased, that goes to the federal government will be going for paying for, you know, Medicaid, Social Security, and those things that we just have to pay for and nothing else. So something's got to change.
Yeah. Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross here. He's from the Cortland District. More coming up this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg. A Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross in this morning. He's from the Cortland District. We're mainly talking about baseball, but we are going to talk about a couple of other county issues in a few minutes. I want to ask you about the last meeting. You participated in this part of the baseball part by phone and voted against the county hiring a lawyer.
High-priced lawyer.
Yeah. Boy, that the cost, $5.75 an hour, I think,
yes.
Was the...
I was surprised to hear that.
I thought, wow, that's nice work for that.
Yep.
You did vote though against, and what were your thoughts on that? Because and I think it was at the baseball committee meeting a few nights later. Assistant County Administrator Mark Cole mentioned that the committee needed a lawyer, that they couldn't go any farther, that they were just talking amongst themselves.
Sure. So on that, I just had a couple thoughts. And one thing, I did press for the cap. I'm like, how much are we going to spend on this? And as you might remember, we gave the schools this year, they did get $2.8 million more than last year. So when you added up the state money, and they hired, I think, even one more person than they were wanting to hire. So however, on the books, when we had like a $900,000 gap, and we were able to take Massaponics Church Road development off, so that gave them another $328,000, and then we gave them another $17,000. So if you think about it, we gave them $17,000 more, plus another $320,000, and now we're going to hire an attorney for $30,000. It didn't quite make sense with me, but also I was just happy to get the cap. And then the other part was, what are we really going to glean by this? And when I look at those numbers and see $30 million of net present value and negative $26 million of net present value, what kind of negotiations are we going to really do that's going to close that gap? They're going to have to be extreme. And so for me, I just kind of see this as, you know, a waste of money. because if we can't close that gap, I don't mean to be a naysayer. I guess I kind of am being a pessimist that we can close that gap. It just seems like $60 million of negotiation over 30 years is just not going to happen.
Does an issue like this, because it seems like at least from the outside looking in, make it fray relationships with board members?
You know, and I'm a Christian, and I'll forgive, you know, anybody. I hope so anyway. And but it does. It instead of having, like, the first 2 years I was on the board, pretty much there were four pretty fairly conservative and consistent people on the board, and it was pretty easy. We had a vision and moved toward that vision together. I can say the board is a bit more divided now, and it is hard when you have these issues, and unfortunately sometimes names start getting called, and instead of being civil about things on both sides, there's, you know, being disrespectful to each other and uncivil, which is not good for anything. It's not, no way. Even we need to disagree politely and then have the vote come out. But it does make it a little bit stressful. You know, we have conservative values. Hey, we don't want to raise taxes. We don't want additional tax authority. And those are being challenged. And it's hard to understand why sometimes, but we need to work through. But yes, it's definitely a stressor on the relationships on the board.
Do you think that a decision can be made by July 31st?
I don't see how we're going to get there from here. And again, I go back to the baseball committee's first agenda, and the first night they met was to come up with a plan of action and milestones. And I think I know they didn't do that, because I asked county staff for that, I think a couple days after, because I was curious to see what needed to be done when. And without even having a plan, I don't think they're going to be able to get there. And what I see happening, and I hope it doesn't, is a pressure thing at our last July meeting to say, well, we have the 31 July deadline. Let's make a decision without all the information. And I hope that doesn't happen, but I don't see how we get there from here.
Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross with us this morning. I think we have covered everything we can on baseball for the moment, and so we'll move on. You were telling me about and showing me a FAMPO report about what the hot lanes had meant to traffic patterns in this area, and it was pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, you know, so I commute up I-95 every day, and I was very surprised when the hot lanes opened that it seemed at first like, wow, I think my commute got longer. And I've brought this up to FAMPO, and what I'm seeing, and I think anybody that commutes that's listening out there today can see, is our commute up to mile marker 143 or Garrisonville Road, for whatever reason, we slow down at about mile marker 137 right prior to the Centerport Parkway. So I've asked FAMPO, I said, hey, and they have GPS data just like we have on Google Maps in your car when you pull it up, or in your phone, that shows you delays and can route you around those delays. They can go back in history and time with that data, and they actually did. But it took a while to get FAMPO to do that, because some members of FAMPO, particularly some Stafford members who live up at mile marker 143 or get on there, were like, my commute's gotten much better. I'm like, well, you don't commute up from mile marker 130 or 126. So I do have those numbers, and they were interesting. And FAMPO and VDOT said, especially the northbound, we don't know why it slowed you down, but it has slowed our commute down. Even if you go, and this is their next research project, is to look at coming from 126 or 130 and going all the way to the Pentagon. We do have on the CTAG a member that sits on FAMPO said he's carried slugs for like 15 years, and his commute's the same, because he's going to make up time once he uses the hot lanes, if not a little bit longer, going all the way to the Pentagon. But clearly, if you work at Quantico, so mile marker 152 or below, and can't even use the hot lanes, the commute's gotten longer. And just, I don't know how much time we have.
Go ahead.
Just some numbers in the morning. So at mile marker 126, and this isn't bad, but you're about 1 mile per hour slower than you were after the hot lanes than before. Same at mile marker 130, about 1 mile per hour. But where it gets interesting, in mile marker 133, actually, it got better, but I have a feeling the reason it got better, because the two time shots are August and November 2014 and February through May of 2015. So it did get better at 133, but I have a feeling it's because the road work that was going on at that 133 interchange really, really slowed traffic down until we got that improved. So now we have mile marker 136, and this is in the morning. The average speed was 63.2 miles per hour. Now it's 48.6, so 15 miles per hour slower at 136. And at 140, it was 51, almost 52 miles per hour. Now it's 34, so almost a 17.2 mile per hour slowdown there to 140. And at 143, it was 39.8, let's call it 40, and now it's 31, so almost 9 miles per hour slower.
What do they attribute that to?
The morning, they're not attribute. They don't know. And again, I have the evening times too. And again, it's slower. I think the evening, everybody's crunching off at mile marker 143, and it makes sense because that crunch was at 152. No explanation for the morning's been given.
Yeah.
Other than a couple theories out there, or people are looking at the sign. Because it gives you $3 amounts on the toll, and maybe they're looking and trying to add up what the total cost is.
Okay.
And other people have said people are getting on at 143 and trying to jockey over to the left, but I don't see that. I don't see when I'm going through, I don't see a lot of people jockeying to the left. And I see very few people getting on the hot lanes, but it just seems to open up traffic on the main line on 95 at 143. No explanation has been given for the morning at all, Ted.
Interesting, because I've never used them, but I know people that have and who just rave mm-hmm. about that they get faster. But unfortunately, for the people who aren't taking them, you're going slower.
We're going slower. And again, for instance, if you work at mile marker 152, which is Highway 234 or south, you can't really use the hot lanes because the exit for the first exit's above 152. So it's not even an option.
So for what you do and where you work, you're not able to use them?
No, I'd have to go above where I work and then come back south and then pay for it too. So
okay. Yeah. Okay. It's all fairly new, and maybe that's probably some of this you can attribute just to, like you say, that people are still trying to get used to it and adding things up.
Maybe. And it's just hard for me to understand. But I've always found traffic on I-95 like a living organism. And it's like,
yeah.
it's interesting to study because things always constantly happen at certain areas on that road, and I'm not ever sure why. Now, good things, I think VDOT is going to put about $18 million, if FAMPO approves, in our local area right around Route 3. To do similar turn lanes like they've done at 143 down here at Route 3 that would help with that weave a little bit. And that should actually start fiscal year 16 and 17. So that's an immediate project coming down the road if FAMPO approves it at our next meeting.
And what would that do at Route 3?
At Route 3, it would do the same thing if you're coming southbound. If you're familiar with mile marker 143, when you exit Route 3, you'd have to decide if you're going to go in the left lanes and mm-hmm. go through or in the right lanes to Central Park. There'd be no weaving between people trying to get over to Central Park or people coming off I-95 and having to weave over left before the lanes end.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Because that's that getting that left to get over at certain times of the day, you just keep thinking, please, please, please don't hit me.
Yep. And I tell you, I don't know why I never proposed that because I used to live at 143, so I'm very happy VDOT came up with the idea. I think it's a great one.
The only problem will be the actual construction.
Yes.
That will be just.
That will not
I
be
don't
fun.
Even,
I don't either.
Don't even want to think about it.
Yep.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about schools and, mm-hmm. and the money, and you tied in the number from Massaponics Church Road. The school people and I think a lot of parents have focused on that we only got $17,000.
Yeah,
$1,000 more, and that I've heard a lot of comment on, and people, you know, that was some people felt like that was a slap in the face.
Yeah, and I did too. Now my first vote, it was a 5-2, and Dr. Trampy and I were in the two, was to delay some of the pay raises for the county to provide that about $600,000 of additional funding to the schools. And I thought the $17,000 was a bit of a slap too. But I also can say the way it's been reported, they really did get the Massaponic Church Road. And I that number was over $300,000. I think it's $328,000. And if you look at the article Jeff Branscombe wrote more recently with the $2.8 million additional funding from last year and that they were able to hire everybody that they wanted to, I don't really think there shouldn't be too much of a saying we didn't get what we needed.
Well, and when you mentioned the fact about your the reason for your no vote on the attorney, I know from hearing from some school people that whole vote was not lost on the school. That they immediately saw that the same way you did of where we're going to spend $30,000 on an attorney, but we get 17.
I don't think that's right.
Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross from the Cortland District here. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross here this morning. He's from the Cortland District. On the agenda, anyway, it may or may not be voted. Sometimes things make it to the agenda, especially when you're dealing with land use kind of things. But the Big Jackson Village development, it's like 2,700 homes or something like, or 2,200 homes, I guess. But it's a lot of homes. Is being it may be voted on next week. Do you have any thoughts on that subdivision? It's not in your area.
It's not. Now, so I have a couple thoughts. One is there is a traffic study that is being done that is not out. It clearly, I think, is information that the board needs to make a decision, because that's a key for the area is traffic. At our last meeting, when the Jackson Village came up, I believe Supervisor Ann Heidig requested a delay until that came out. So I actually think it'll probably get tabled and pushed off to a later date until at least we have time to look at that traffic study. I can say that it's in the primary settlement district as far as our comprehensive plan goes. We definitely need to address traffic in that area. And just because it's approved also doesn't mean it's going to be built out overnight. I know that it's where the Spotsylvania Parkway is. I think there's still 700 homes there that have yet to be developed. And again, that's the market that drives drives that. I also have the thought, and I don't know how this works, but there is another project on the opposite side of I-95. And part of the proffer for the Jackson Village is to lead up to a bridge for another I-95 crossing. And my concern is if that other project doesn't cooperate, or I don't even know when it's going to come before the board, they have to tie in together, because it would literally be the bridge to nowhere if only one happens and the other doesn't. So I think we should look at both of them together, but you know, they are two different landowners, and I don't think there's a legal way to do that. I haven't made up my mind on it one way or the other, but I do know a lot of people say it's too many homes for Spotsy, and I can just say they don't happen overnight. For instance, we just zoned the Vacos property where the CarMax is, mixed use, in June of 2014, and nothing has happened there that I'm aware of as far as development a year later.
It's been interesting with Jackson Village. Charlie Payne, the attorney, for the developer, has pointed out that with both South Point and Cosner's Corner, they have lost some of the tenants they've had, and some big ones. And to be able to sustain those kind of things, you do need to have houses.
That was an interesting point. And what is it? Staples is left there. Yeah. And Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing to see those companies leave. I know they're still, you know, down in Central Park. We do have a special tax district around there, and I voted against increasing that to pay for another light recently. But we do need to be friendly to business. We do need those companies back, and I'm not sure whether people are just shopping in Central Park for those needs or why those companies failed there. But
well, and it's interesting, kind of the balance that you have to have on one hand, you want to have the people, and everybody's always talking about we want Trader Joe's.
Sure.
And there's you always hear we don't have enough people in this area. And then at the other end, you've got to deal with, if we do get a lot of the people, what's that going to do to the balance with schools?
Right. And I think so. What I'd still like to see is a focus on commercial development. I think this German grocery distribution center we've got, $125 million investment in Spotsylvania coming from, is the way to go. I don't want to quote the number of jobs, but I heard that there's a significant number of jobs that are above $80,000 per year that will be coming to Spotsy for that distribution center. And it was over 50. I just don't have the direct number. Those are exciting things, and those are the ways that we kind of, you know, get our finances in order. And by the way, I think our finances are in great shape. I think our county staff does a good job, and it's fairly conservative in forecasting out. So we always seem to do better than forecast, which is good.
It amazes. And sometimes I know that you and others have said they might be too conservative.
Sometimes it is. Every time I see that five-year chart plan that shows us drastically two lines of departure where our expenditures exceed revenues, it scares me. But then I've been on the board 3.5 years, and we always have a surplus. So that if it's working, it's working. At the bottom line, if we have a surplus every year, good.
You mentioned the German distribution center. That was the governor announced that last week. Was that something that you knew about?
I did. We had closed door sessions on that, and we are providing some incentives for them to come here as well.
Where will that be?
I believe it's off of Smith Station Road, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
So it's already zoned industrial where they're moving to, and I think it's a Luckstone property.
Okay. The new county administrator, is there any kind of a learning curve with a new administrator and in a board, or kind of feeling each other out, getting to know each other?
Yeah, I think there is, and I think Mark Taylor had a transition period with Doug Barnes where they're both there together. Mark's at the helm now, and for me, it's actually been a very smooth transition. Mark's very good communicator. He responds to calls. He's giving me calls, let me know what's up. And I think we made a good choice, even though I did vote against Mark, by the way. But I'm happy with him.
Well, Spotsylvania Supervisor David Ross, thank you for coming in. And again, the big issue right now is baseball. We'll see when and how that resolves itself.
It'll be interesting. Thanks for having me in, Ted.
Thank you. We will see you soon. Thanks.
Okay.
That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. See you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.